from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
10 hours away from Major League Baseball's trade deadline, Ben Cherington been somewhat active. Goes out and gets a lefty, Jalen Beeks from Colorado, gets Nick York, sends Quinn Priester to Boston. Do they have any other irons in the fire? Joining us now to get into that is Noah Hiles from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Good morning to you, Noah. Thank you so much for coming on. And first question, we have heard that the Pirates are in on Yandy Diaz, who is a first baseman, third baseman for the Tampa Bay Rays. Have you heard the same thing?
I've heard that they inquired on him, but nothing that separates him from the pack, per se. I basically, most of the rumors that I've heard connected to the Pirates are, yeah, they've reached out. And there's been a lot of guys that they've reached out about. But, you know, they do a really good job of not letting you know which specific individuals seem to be the highest on their priority list, perhaps because they don't necessarily have one or two guys that might be high on their priority. They have a set group of guys that they like, and they evaluate from there based off of the asking price. So, yeah, I know Yandy Diaz is someone that they've at least looked into. I don't know how serious they are about acquiring him compared to other people that they've reached out about.
Well, no, how good are the trades that they've made with York and with Beeks? I mean, does that give you any energy? Should that make Pirates fans happy right now, or is there still something left on the table to happen in the next 11 hours, 10 hours?
All right, let me equate these to purchases that we've all made in our life. Nick York is like buying a winter jacket right now. It's something that you probably aren't going to use in July, but he might be useful down the line. I look at what you gave up for York, Quinn Priester. This is a guy that probably wasn't going to work out here. A guy that they tried the maximum potential out of, but this was a guy that didn't really respond to their coaching really well. I think the reason Quinn Priester did not maximize his potential here was because of some things that they asked him to do, and he wasn't necessarily throwing the pitches as much that they wanted him to throw as much as he should have been. And you look at the position depth at where Priester played, there's a lot of great young starting pitching. They said, we can do without you. And they added a player in York where he gives them depth, and I think his ceiling is being another Nick Gonzalez. And with his system, he could play outfield. You could see him play another infield position. That's the flyer they took there. York doesn't help them probably this year. Maybe we see him in the big leagues in September. It's a guy who's played less than 50 games in AAA, but he's got a good hit tool. And I think that this is a guy they view to be someone who has a potentially higher ceiling than a Triolo or an Aleika Williams or a Leover Piguero. which I think is a decent trade if that's how that unfolds. It does, like I said, it doesn't necessarily help the 2024 club, but I mean, Quinn Priester, was he helping the 2024 club? Not a ton. So that made there. As far as Beeks goes, that's a move I was confident they were going to make, not necessarily for Beeks, but for what he is. They just needed an additional left-handed arm in that bullpen. You've got Chapman as the late inning leverage guy. That's not necessarily your lefty-on-lefty matchup. That's just your eighth. So Beeks is essentially what they hope Baruchy would be. And that tells me that whenever we get this Ryan Baruchy update, they paused his rehab assignment and flew him out to Arizona to reevaluate him. That tells me that that's probably not going to be a good update, because they need their left-hand guy that they can bring in for three batters if a team ever has back-to-back lefties sometime in the order late in the game. You look at what Beeks does well. He's a soft contact guy. Throws a lot of fastballs. Doesn't get a lot of swing and miss. But I think he can be someone that's effective if used in the right situations late in games. I mean, his numbers aren't great because he was a very high leverage guy for Colorado. He's probably going to be like the fifth best guy in this bullpen. So if you can pick and choose your spots to use him, I think he'll be effective. So those are the two moves they've made. I expect them to probably make one or two moves today before the deadline ends.
We're joined by Noah Hiles from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Talking about the Pirates at the trade deadline, obviously. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you don't think that bringing in Beeks would signify the end of Aroldis Chapman's time with the Pirates?
I don't think so, no. Based off conversations that we've had, myself and Andrew Destin, we've talked around, because that's been, I think, one of the more underrated points of this deadline is what do they do with Aroldis Chapman? Because there are times when the team was, you know, losing in early July, where it might have made sense if they continued to trend that way to flip Chapman, because I think there would be a high demand for him on this trade. There's always a high demand for Aroldis Chapman. Look at what the Royals got for him last year.
All-star pitcher,
all-star. There's that temptation, but I don't think it would make sense now. I know that he doesn't want to leave Pittsburgh, and I don't see him being dealt based off of where they are, 500, two games out of the playoffs. So I don't think Chapman's going to be the guy who gets dealt. I mean, I could see maybe a depth piece, like if they were to make a deal with another team in contention, they could trade off a bullpen piece, but I would likely now. I think they're really happy with where their bullpen's sitting, and I don't think Beeks is the replacement for Chapman.
We all know what Nutting said about a month ago during the interview with Sheets. I think you might have asked him a few questions, Noah, but it's one thing to hear Nutting say that, because he doesn't really go out of his way to say and be so straightforward about what could happen before the trade deadline, and saying that, you know, everything's on the table, we need to go after it, we need to get, you know, players in here, and we also need to develop. What do you think Charrington's actually really working with right now, like financially? Like, do you think that he has all the tools and all the assets to make a big move these past couple of days, and it just hasn't gone through?
I think he's working with the finances that he anticipated to be working with at this point in the year, whatever that is. I don't think there was a point in the season where Bob watched this team win a game and goes, oh, here's $30 extra million to work with. And I know people like hope that would be the reality, but I think that I don't think they're like going into this deadline looking to cut payroll. I think that they, whatever, if they plan to have $5 million extra, and that's just the number I'm throwing out for this example, if they plan to have a $5 million add at the deadline, then that's what they're going to operate with today. If they planned on only having $1 million of extra payroll to add, then that's what they're going to add today. The payroll did go up a little bit with the acquisition of Beeks. That's not me patting anyone on the back. I mean, you got a mid-leverage reliever, so like that's not a huge salary upgrade, but I don't think they're necessarily handicapped financially, but I also don't expect them to add a guy who's making $20 million a year and $20 million next year, because that's just kind of what this organization isn't known for.
Last thing here for you, Noah. You did say you expect them to make another move or two, and with your ear to the ground, what I don't necessarily need a specific player, but if you have one, by all means, what do you think it would look like if they do add?
I think they get a rental outfielder for sure. That's just something that makes a lot of sense based off their need heading into this series, and makes even more sense now considering that Bay and Palacios both might be heading to the AIL. So you add into the fact that you don't have depth there, and the guys that you do have there aren't necessarily hitting the ball. I think the real bat is a must. There are guys out there, and again, this, I mean, we've heard the reports about Taylor Ward. I've heard the report, and I've heard that they've at least reached out on him. I don't know how much better he necessarily makes this team. Like, Taylor Ward is a league average player, but hey, they could league average guys in that lineup. Michael A. Taylor, he ain't going to go Hank Aaron in the ninth inning every single game. So I think that's a guy you could look out for. I haven't heard this connection, but his teammate, Kevin Pillar, would make a lot of sense based off of the contract, the position that he plays. I could see that being something that and I know that he's available because I've seen reports that other teams have inquired about him. And then another thing that I think they could add would be a player that brings defensive versatility, a guy who could play up the middle both in the infield and in the outfield. Ahmed Rosario was a guy that had a perfect fit. The Dodgers obviously required him yesterday. And this isn't a name that I've heard connected to the Pirates, but just looking around based off of the team that he's on, another determining factor that you're going to be able to connect real quick, he does. Richie Palacios might make some sense for the Pirates, for the Tampa Bay Rays. Second baseman, also plays some third base, also plays some outfield. He has multiple years of control left. I don't think he would be a high cost. He's kind of like his brother, you know, an additional depth piece. I think he's a little bit of a more established big leaguer than his brother. But that a guy like that, And I'm not throwing that out, like I said. I'm not – this is just speculation as far as the player itself. But I'm just trying to throw out guys who fit the profile of a player that they might look to acquire between now and the end of the deadline.
Noah, really good, man.
I expect one or two.
Really good stuff. Thanks for waking up early. I know you're out in Houston. Appreciate the time. And maybe we'll check back with you later in the week after the deadline. All right, man?
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks, Noah. Good stuff. From Noah Hiles. A lot to react to there from Noah, and there is some breaking Luis Robert Jr. news, which we will get to coming up next as well. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, some breaking and unfortunate Luis Robert Jr. news. The center fielder for the Chicago White Sox, who hit 38 homers last year. This, according to Bob Nightingale, the Chicago White Sox believe that starter Garrett Crochet likely will be moved today, but that center fielder Luis Robert Jr. will be staying. And parenthetically, he included, Luis Robert Jr. has drawn little interest, which is strange to me.
That's a lot of money, and he hasn't been doing well this year.
A lot of money, hasn't been doing well, oft injured.
Mm-hmm.
He looked kind of lazy on some plays, too.
Okay. I don't disagree, and I've seen a ton of clips that back up your assertion there, Callis. Might I add, though, that they are on, they being the Chicago White Sox, a 15-game losing streak.
Yeah, a bad team. Yeah.
I mean, bad. I saw a stat yesterday that blew my mind, and I don't have it saved, so I'm not going to get it 100% right. But basically it's this. The White Sox had a 14-game losing streak before, and they're currently on a 15-game losing streak. If you take those losing streaks away, they're still like 30 games under 500.
What?
They are so bad. We watch them play.
Yeah.
So I would like guys to go out there and bust their ass every single day, but you know that you might be a trade chip, and you are playing on a team that is a million games under 500. That if they won every single one of their remaining games, you're not going to finish above 500. They go 54-0 or whatever it is, and they're still under 500.
That's tough.
I'm probably not going balls to the wall every day. Right. I'm just not. So I don't worry about that. There were some who were worried about Jazz Chisholm's outlook and his mindset, and he goes to the Yankees and hit two home runs last night, and meanwhile the Yankees have a second baseman who's all pissed off saying, I'm a second baseman, you can't move me around. So they got problems with that guy. Point being, I don't care about that. And whenever I read Bob Nightingale say he's drawn little interest, I wonder if part of that might be the asking price is really high. And Mark Feinstein, I think it is, I just read his trade deadline primer that he just put out like 10 minutes ago, and he did write that the asking price for Luis Robert Jr. has been through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd at least be checking if I were Ben Cherington.
Yeah.
He is the biggest position of need. He has pop. He's a good, I think, enough defensive center fielder whenever his head is in the thing. That's the kind of guy, if you're going to add salary, if you're going to give up high-profile prospects, that's the kind of guy that you're looking at.
Yep.
Brent Rooker, too. I think Luis Robert Jr. fits more of a pressing need at center field because Brent Rooker has not played a ton of outfield, 150-ish games in his Major League Baseball career. But, hey, beggars, choosers, just get me a damn bat in the lineup. We're going to get into the Steelers and day one of pads coming up in about 10 minutes. And, of course, if the Pirates do make a trade, if any big trades get made throughout Major League Baseball, we will bring them to your attention today, and we will play this sounder if it's the Pirates.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey-o!
Hey! They did it.
It's a trade! We'll play that because Callis put it together, and we love Callis. But before we do get into the Steelers, some of the stuff Noah said really was eye-opening. Like, the first thing that jumps out was Quinn Priester didn't want to be coached.
Right.
I had not heard that.
Never.
Right? Last year, the talk was, are they screwing up a high-end prospect? And then you see, he doesn't have great stuff. Like, he tops out 93, 94. He just doesn't have great stuff. And Noah said that they asked him to pitch in a certain manner, and he didn't want to pitch in that certain manner. When you think about what the Pirates have next year, Skeens, Keller, Jones, potentially Bubba Chandler, maybe Bailey Falter, Oviedo.
Ortiz.
Right? Ortiz. There's seven guys right there. Ashcraft could play himself into the competition. There's eight guys right there that I would like to see what they have more than Quinn Priester.
No doubt.
And you don't really need to be carrying Quinn Priester around as a long relief man when trading him could net you the sixth best prospect in a team's farm system. So don't let the door hit you on the backside. I wish you all the best, Quinn Priester, but like, come on.
Yeah.
He also said he was not hearing the same stuff on Yandy Diaz that was reported last night, and this is Noah Hiles. He said they have looked into Yandy Diaz. He is not so sure that they are in on him more than they're in on any other players. So it's good to hear that he can confirm that they have had conversations with Tampa about Yandy Diaz, but it doesn't sound like they're the favorite for him at this point or anything like that.
So basically throw that out the window.
Well, when you hear that the other two teams involved are the Astros and the Yankees, it doesn't make me feel good.
No.
Because those teams, we know that they spend money. When you can spend money, you can give up prospects.
Yes.
Because you're just going to go buy whoever you want. Like, you can give up the third best prospect for Yandy Diaz if you want to, because you'll just go buy a player who's better than your third best prospect is going to be in 2 years.
Question for you. Do you think that some teams look at the Pirates organization, like, compared to the Yankees? And like you said, like, they could spend money so they can give away prospects. But do you think that teams look at the development of the Yankees and say, like, their prospect system is being developed way better than the Pirates, and we will take the 20th, now third prospect over a higher prospect of the Yankees if you're the Marlins, and instead of taking a higher prospect of the Pirates because of the development of the Yankees system?
I know exactly.
That makes sense.
It makes a ton of sense. I know exactly what you're saying.
That could be a factor in things.
I don't know specifically the Yankees development. When I think development, I think of St. Louis. I think of Tampa. I think of Houston for a while. I think of teams like that. Cleveland's done a good job. Baltimore now has a stock farm system. With the Yankees, I think you just know you can ask for more.
Mm.
You can ask for more, or you can ask for better, because they're probably more willing to give up on those prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we are seeing, educated guess here, I feel like, I don't know if it's the prospects with the Pirates aren't valued, or if it's that Ben Charrington is just so stingy and doesn't want to give up prospects.
Right, right.
Because you think about who he did give up, Quinn Priester. Didn't draft him. He didn't draft Quinn Priester. So he probably, okay, take him. We'll get a sixth best prospect for you. I don't have any feelings for Quinn Priester. I'm wondering if he has big feelings for his other guys, the guys that he has brought in.
Probably.
It's probably column A, column B.
Yeah.
Like, there were rumors that maybe Henry Davis was offered up in the Jazz Chisholm deal. It's either Ben Charrington didn't want to add him to that deal because he doesn't want to give up on his guy, or it could be that simply, to what your point was, that the Marlins were valuing the Yankees' third best prospect, their catcher, more than Henry Davis. And I'm not sure either of those things are very good.
Right. I don't know if I said that right. Like I would think the teams would think that the Yankees' prospects would be, like, if the third best Yankees prospect is better than the third best Pirates prospect.
Right. That's one of those things that could be true throughout baseball. Like, like, when we say Randy Arozarena got traded for the 14th and 15th best prospect for the Mariners, you know, I've been looking at prospect sheets for, like, days now. Maybe their 14th and 15th best prospects equate to the 10th and 11th for the Pirates.
Right.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Just get something done. Just get something done! Taylor Ward was a name that was mentioned by Noah Hiles that he knows they were interested in. One guy he said he hadn't heard they're interested in, but is a guy that I've brought up, is Kevin Pillar. Neither one of those guys are world beaters. If you got both, I think both are upgrades over what you have right now. just add a couple of bats. Those guys aren't going to cost a lot. We can talk about Luis Robert. We can talk about Brent Rooker. And those guys would change big time the direction of this organization this year and for years to come. But if we're trying to get the Pirates to the playoffs this year and they're just two games back and they've done it basically with smoke and mirrors in the lineup, if you could just add two upgrades, do it. I'm still holding out hope that they will, but I don't know if it's anything more than just hope. We hope Russell Wilson practices today. What else are we looking at? Steelers. Pads. Today. The first practice in pads. We'll talk about it when we come back. Pads day in La Trobe. St. Vincent College. The Steelers are going to strap it on, and they're going to get after it. They're going to hit each other, Doran. Strap M on.
Mm.
Not strap it on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Strap on.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope, that's not it.
Nope.
No, I don't think that's it. I'm looking forward to getting some like grainy video footage, like through the rain and the mist of Zach Frazier just mauling dudes.
Mm.
Like, I don't need today it all to be good news for him, for Fatanu in particular. I do want to hear that really good things happened. Like, it's progress isn't linear. They might struggle, but I want to hear Fatanu did this, that Zach Frazier put so-and-so on his wallet, that he knocked the guy in the next week. You're giggling because you don't think it's going to happen.
No.
They won't get a couple reps where they win one over?
No, you don't get knocked on your butt that much in the NFL.
Zach Frazier's a wrestler, man.
I think what you want to hear is Zach Frazier didn't give up a sack. Zach Frazier didn't get beat. Zach Frazier didn't dribble snaps. Zach Frazier took control. But put somebody on their butt?
Put him on her ass!
He's going to put Keanu Benton on his butt?
That'd be a good sign.
Well, Keanu Benton was a wrestler, too.
I know.
And he's a second year, and he's going to have a... Okay.
If there are matchups...
There's no way that it happens.
It could happen.
Nope.
It will happen.
No.
$5?
Yes.
And 87 cents?
Not a line. Not Peyton Wilson. We're talking about defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
He has to block. He is not going to pancake anybody.
No, he's probably not going to pancake anybody.
No.
But if he did, that'd be good.
That'd be really good.
It'd be very, very good. That is a matchup. I'm not going to be there, but if I were there, that would be a matchup I want to see.
Yeah.
Because Tomlin seems to be very high on Keanu Benton. You and I are very high on Keanu Benton. Zach Frazier would be nice if he won the starting job. It is interesting that out of all the rookies, the one rookie who's a starter today is the undrafted guy, Beanie Bishop.
Right.
Nobody else in a starting role.
Mm-hmm.
You make anything of that? Is that just the position of weakness for the Steelers?
Yeah, it's a position of weakness, but it also, like, it's always weird how drafts fall. And it doesn't, like, even if you do fall out of the draft, there were other priorities that teams needed. That doesn't mean that Beanie Bishop wasn't worthy of a draft pick. And I'm sure that the Steelers draft board and who they drafted this year, they drafted in position of absolute need. That doesn't mean that if it was a different, you know, if they didn't need a certain position, that Beanie Bishop wouldn't have went in the fourth round or fifth round. Could have, you know, next year, if Beanie Bishop was coming out, he could
have. They might have really valued him,
right,
is what you're saying.
Right, because they probably would have needed it. So I don't know if he's coming in to what people think his value is on paper.
He was All-American last year.
Yeah, like his value doesn't, just because he's an undrafted free agent, I don't think that that's his value. His value probably is higher, which wouldn't surprise me of him getting the opportunity with not many people being in that role and saying, well, you know, we kind of had you rated high. The draft just didn't fall in our favor to draft you, but we ended up getting you here. We've always wanted you. And we feel comfortable with rolling the ball out there and saying, hey, this is your job and your opportunity to compete for a starting spot on this,
mm-hmm,
this roster.
And look who's behind you.
Or they wouldn't just put him in there.
Right.
You know, they didn't think highly of him. They wouldn't be like, all right, you know, hey, undrafted guy, just roll out there and play.
Right. It wasn't like day one OTAs, Beanie Bishop was lining up in the slot. I mean, he rotated through there,
right,
but he'd shown them enough via their evaluation, via their tape, and then via what he's done through minicamp and OTAs to deserve that day one here. And then first day in pads, what you're hearing, he's probably going to be out there too. And then Deshaun Elliott, I guess they're going to walk down. They have some flexibility, I think, with their safeties.
Yeah, KZ will go back, you know, mm-hmm, or go to Strong, or, you know,
yeah,
Deshaun will be the, you know, box nickel or whatever.
Yeah, those two guys Minkah Fitzpatrick and DeMonte Casey can take that center fielder role.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on the matchup, you can roll him down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they get in a pinch, like if Beanie Bishop doesn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to feel that they really, really liked him. They just the draft just didn't fall for them to pick him.
Yeah.
But they ended up getting their guy, kind of like Jaylen Warren. I mean, I'm not going to put that much on him right now. Like, he still has to play the whole season. But I feel like they feel about him as how they felt about Jaylen Warren. Remember, they loved the fact that Jaylen Warren, they got him in free agency because they wanted to draft him, and he fell, and they were real excited. Look how that's panned out. I feel like that could be the same story. And I'm hoping it's the same story for Beanie Bishop.
It's funny that Willie Parker was just selected for the Hall of Honor, an undrafted guy. And then we talk about these two guys. And look, Jaylen Warren is a big part of this team. I mean, he can be like 50-50 with Najee Harris. If they hit on Beanie Bishop, that's a big deal.
Huge.
Like, I'm not just talking about because he's a West Virginia guy. That's a huge deal because coming in, it was, what's Dante Jackson going to do? What the hell do they have at slot? Is Dante Jackson the slot? Do they need an outside guy? Well, the early returns on Dante Jackson are that he's been good. He's been good. So, day one today, for real. And let's see how that goes. We'll talk about some more matchups coming up in the next segment. Dan Zangrilli going to join us at 9 o'clock because we are getting ever closer to Major League Baseball's trade deadline. If the Pirates make a trade, of course, we will break into whatever we're talking about and tell you about it. If any big-time players are moved in Major League Baseball, we will tell you about it right here. Coming up next, in addition to talking about some more matchups we're looking forward to seeing from the Steelers today, we'll hit on some key NFL storylines before we hear from Zangrilli at 9 o'clock. Oh, NFL music, first day in pads for the Steelers and the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We got Dan Zangrilli talking all things Buccos and trade deadline in about 10 minutes. He'll be on the Fan hotline, or maybe in person, but if he's on the hotline, it's brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Couple NFL storylines I wanted to run by you, Doran, but anything else you want to hear about from Steelers camp today?
Anything else? Maybe Roman Wilson creating some separation.
Yes.
Roman Wilson. I mean, it is a little bit different. I know you're not going to get hit going across the middle if you're a receiver in training camp, and especially as a rookie right now, but it is a little bit different. Whenever the pads do come on, you have to think a little bit differently and catch the ball differently and see the ball differently. Like, it's just, that's all I want to hear of him making some plays today.
He strikes me as a guy that wants to get hit.
Yes.
You watch him play, everything you hear about him, he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. Lil' Hines Warden, that guy. I bet you he'd thrive getting hit. Not that they really get hit, but you get what I'm saying.
As I really sit here and try to grasp everything and everything that we've talked about, at least football-wise today, and who we want to see and who could maybe show up after today, I think there's going to be a lot of young players and rookies that are going to have vital roles on this roster for the first time maybe in a long time.
I mean, you could be talking about two-fifths of your offensive line.
Yeah. Receiver. You know, linebacker maybe with Peyton Wilson. I mean, corners.
I think with him, he's going to be hard to keep off the field because he's just such an athletic freak.
I think that they're going to create so many different packages. Like, he's a defensive coordinator's dream. Like, to be able to run and to be able to cover and to be able to blitz, to be able to do the different things he could do and how big he is. I think they're going to create some nice packages for him that allow them to do a lot of different things.
Peyton Wilson in college had 15 sacks. Huh. He had 6 last year, 4.5 the year before that. Like, he's a different athlete kind of guy than Vince Williams, but they were so good at drawing that up for Vince. Vince had 9 sacks one year. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I could definitely see them creating some packages for that guy. All right, now around the National Football League, new TV agreements. The NFL is pushing to have both head coaches interviewed during games. Does this move the needle for Doran Dickerson at all?
Like what? Like halftime? Like,
yeah.
What are we talking about? Like,
yeah.
Halftime?
Mm-hmm. No, requiring them to talk.
No, I don't really care what the head coaches have to say in general. They're going to say, be politically correct, and they're going to say, yeah, we need to be better at coming out in the second half, and we need to create the momentum, and we didn't do well in this area, and, you know, all right, see ya, thank you. Like, they're not going to say anything crazy. I don't care.
I like when they get uncomfortable, and I like when they're kind of jerks. Like, I just like them kind of not being, because they're not thinking about that at all.
No.
Remember Tomlin? Dallas? Where he's walking? I think it was Atlanta. I'm working.
I'm effing working here.
That wasn't a reporter. That was a fan. But hey, you know what I'm talking about here. All right, so Aaron Rodgers reportedly frustrated by the way things are going a little bit in Jets camp. And my advice to him would have been show up in minicamp in OTAs. A guy that played 6 seconds of football last year for the New York Jets. You might wind up being frustrated when you're not on the same page with some of your guys.
Right.
I don't know, man. He says he wants to have 2 great years left. I think he needs to focus on getting through the first game in the first month. I don't know what to make of him. Missing, like, Deshaun Watson was a top 5 quarterback. And now the guy is, sometimes he does some nice things, but he's injured a lot, and then he kind of sucks. And time away is not easy to come back from. And I just wonder what that's going to mean for Aaron Rodgers.
I think he will be okay, but I think that if his team starts to lose games and guys don't step up, I think it'll just be a you-know-what show. And he'll place the blame on everybody else but him.
If they lose games early,
yeah,
could see it circling the toilet.
Yep.
Real quick.
It'll never be his fault. And then his teammates maybe turn against him.
You'd hate to see it. You really just don't want to see something like that happen. Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears quarterback, says he wants to play in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. I think I speak for all of America when I say, yes, please.
You told me this earlier whenever we were starting the show. And I was like, why wouldn't he play? Like, he's a rookie quarterback in the NFL for the first time. New offensive coordinator, new weapons. You have a young receiver that they need to get on the same page with. Why wouldn't he play in the Hall of Fame game? You need him to play.
Yeah, what am I missing here?
Right. Yeah,
you got 4 games as a rookie. He's got great weapons, too. Like, great weapons. Like, Justin Fields wishes he had these weapons.
Great weapons.
Yes.
Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze. What's the one other guy? The guy that I said that maybe could trade it to the Steelers.
Yeah, that tweet really blew up. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he has good weapons.
He does have good
Cole
weapons.
Kmet.
Yeah. You got to throw the tight end in there. Yeah. Well, that's the biggest tight end name of all time, Cole Kmet. Yeah. So I do think, A, yeah, you should play. And then B, that's the day after tomorrow. We want to watch some real dudes playing football.
Right.
Like, I want Rome Odunze playing football.
CJ Stroud.
Guys be getting hurt on that turf, though. So just be. I think that might have changed. Just be careful. Yeah. But play. I don't think we'll see Stroud. I don't. A lot of times we don't see those guys.
Yeah.
In the Hall of Fame.
I hope so.
That's the great unsponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun brought to you by To Be Determined. So, looking for a sponsor there. Great unsponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun brought to you by To Be Determined. Think we should do that every day.
Yes.
Just a collection of NFL stories.
I like it.
All right. Nothing has happened this morning as it relates to the Pirates or really anybody at the Major League Baseball trade deadline. We are approaching 9 hours until that deadline, which is at 6 p.m. Eastern time. We do have one bit of news, John Heyman and others reporting that it doesn't look like Luis Robert Jr. is going to be traded by the Chicago White Sox. I don't know that the Pirates were ever really going to get that guy, but he makes sense for the Pirates. We'll talk to Dan Zangrilli about all things deadline coming up next, but first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 83 and rain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.